Hello and welcome to StarCast for Saturday, the 18th of September, 2021. My name is Eric Francis Compolino, host of Planet Waves FM, and author of the Planet Waves Horoscope, here with a slightly late edition. I apologize for missing Wednesday's edition entirely and being late on today's. When that happens, you can be sure there's quite a bit going on in my life. It was a wildly hectic week last week preparing the October monthly materials. Normal business, which is usually pretty brisk, and then I published a 12,000, I guess, up to about 12,000 word COVID timeline. So my dad's other job is investigative reporter. Anyway, you can find all that at planetwaves.fm. Here back with you with an edition that will take us through Monday's Pisces full moon. But first, a quick recap of last week. What we experienced last week, all of that concentrated energy and seeming like everything was getting shoved through a too narrow opening, was the sun making a series of aspects to very potent distant planets. So that includes the sun made a trine to Pluto, a quincunx to Jupiter, an opposition to Neptune, a quincunx to Eris, and a bunch of other aspects. And so what the sun is doing is essentially condensing and concentrating the energies of the other planets. Remember, the sun is actually at the center of the zodiac, and all of those angles and aspects are affecting the energetic quality of the sun, which it is then projecting back outward onto the entire solar system. And that includes the Earth and us and you and your kitty cat and the flowers in your garden. As of today, Saturday, September 18th, the moon is in late Aquarius. So we begin the weekend with the moon in late Aquarius, where it has recently, 1:35 a.m. Eastern time. No. That was a trine to Mercury a little bit later, early morning around daybreak Eastern time, made a conjunction to Jupiter. And as far as I'm concerned, the moon is going to be void of course all through the late morning and the early afternoon, after which time the moon enters Pisces at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Just to repeat that, moon enters Pisces, moon void ends, and moon enters Pisces at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, more than that going on today, the most exciting thing and potentially the most challenging thing going on today is Mars is in early Libra. Talked about this last time. When Mars or anything gets on the cardinal cross, it starts to make a lot of what some astrologers refer to as quote-unquote hard aspects. I don't like to use that word. It's just too loaded. But what astrologers mean by hard aspects is that they are 90-degree or 180-degree aspects. That's usually the two, square and opposition. And so when a planet gets onto the cardinal cross, which it is in Libra, it starts to make aspects to everything in Capricorn and Aries and Cancer, and there is plenty, particularly in Capricorn, where we have this little cluster of newly discovered objects, newly discovered meaning, past 10, 20, 30 years, not stuff that guys in togas were thinking about as they drank wine from their lead goblets, but stuff discovered by modern astronomers. And there's a bunch of that stuff condensed in early Capricorn, and it all has the theme of family and where family meets society. So the aspect that's in effect today, the closest and the most potent one, is Mars square 90 degrees in Libra, square Pholus in Capricorn. Pholus, the second of the centaur planets. If you're a fan of Chiron, Chiron has cousins, and one of them is Pholus, the second one, discovered 92. And it's in early Capricorn, And pholus is the uncontrolled pressurized release. If you're curious about pholus, somewhere in the archives, if you Google a story called The World in a Grain of Pholus, quote, put that in quotes, The World in a Grain of Pholus, unquote, by me, and you'll come up with one of the best articles on the internet on the effects of pholus and how it just can get something going that just keeps going and going and going and going and doesn't ever seem to stop. And Mars is square pholus, pushing on that quality and in a sense running the risk of breaching whatever little boundary or lid or bottle cap on the genie bottle, and so be cautious of conflicts that might emerge today. This is not the day to do things that are, let's say, socially reckless. And I'm also very guarded about alcohol. I don't drink that much. I'm not a teetotaler. I don't mean quite that, but the use of alcohol and the influence of alcohol on your relationships is very important to pay attention to that. And so we've got Mars in Libra square pholus, and the central metaphor of the entire pholus myth is a jug of wine that comes open and then like pure hell is unleashed and a war breaks out. Like a bottle opening a cask of wine. Well, that's got an interesting, you know, mythological, spiritual lesson in there. But a thing is uncorked, and the thing is it's an ancestral possession. It's sacred ancestral wine, and the lid is taken off the urn, and chaos ensues, largely owing to the scent of the wine making centaurs drunk. So there's a lot of caution around pholus, and the caution is can't really keep spin control that good where pholus is concerned, and you have to be mindful that things can easily go out of control with pholus. And so just pay attention to that. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. You might learn something. You might observe someone's conduct or behavior. You might make a discovery about yourself or about your family. So that is very much in the Ritta today. Okay, meanwhile, Moon in Pisces, we're going to make a bunch of aspects to things in Pisces, and that includes stuff I'll talk about that takes place tomorrow. And of note, the Sun is in the very late degrees of Virgo. Moon in Pisces, Sun in Virgo means the new moon is approaching. Were I more organized, I would have began this discussion by saying, everything I'm about to say is headed for the Pisces full moon. So now I'm saying it at 8 minutes and 30 seconds. Okay, Sunday. Sunday, 3:57 p.m., interesting aspect pattern emerges. So the moon making many aspects, in particular, a conjunction to the third centaur, Nessus, and a square to Juno. Now, Juno's an interesting asteroid. Juno's a kind of a garden variety, I believe, asteroid number 3. Garden variety asteroid out in the main belt. Nothing special. Discovered 1803 or 4 or something like that. Been around a long time. But related to the Greek goddess Hera, famous for jealousy, resentment, and scorekeeping in relationships. Jealousy, resentment, and particularly scorekeeping in relationships. So Juno can represent the bone of contention in relationships. And so when you get to that point where there's like the bone of contention, it's like, oh, maybe Juno is here. I recognize that. I read about that in an astrology book. Well, you're hearing about it on a podcast. So beware of that. And this setup is a little disturbing in that, first of all, you know, the moon in Pisces, that's not given to the world's best boundaries, but it's the consequences angle of the conjunction to Neptune and the resentment bone of contention angle of Juno. So all these three points are in an exact alignment. It's at 1303, for Nessus and the Moon, and then 1355 for Juno. So whatever that's about, it'll be interesting to see. One of the ways you learn astrology is, you know, you hear an aspect like this is coming, and then you just pay attention, and you notice what is what's coming up, you know, what's bubbling up, you know, out of what I call the Rita, the great all that there is. And things just sometimes bubble up out of there, and then we can see them in astrology. Oh, how about that? All right, so when the Moon is done with that, the Moon then makes a sextile, looking like at about 4 or 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock, to all in effect, late afternoon, evening, to Uranus. So what that says to me is take a fresh approach to whatever situation you might define. And Uranus wants liberation from things that are utterly familiar and might be verging on antiquated and useless, but it's also responsible to, you know, take the lessons of the past for what they have to offer so that we are not doomed to repeat it. All right. Meanwhile, while this is going on, I'm noticing that Mercury is slow and powerful. Mercury is getting ready to go retrograde. That is not until Mercury retrograde begins on September 27. So that's in about a week from Sunday. So that when you see Mercury starting to go real slow, that means a retrograde's approaching. And I'm sure you've noticed things getting just a little bit wonky. Unusual computer errors. The most important thing to remember about Mercury retrograde is it's mostly about mindfulness. And even though there are real things that happen, how we respond to them is a question of mindfulness and a question of choice and a question of intent. And so remember that you're choosing how you respond to most things. This is going to be a deep retrograde. Mercury square Pluto. This is the kind of thing where truths that people don't want to see are starting to come out. But if you've noticed, there's a lot of truth coming out. There's a lot of truth coming out. So anyway, that Mercury Pluto square is pretty close on Monday. Very close on Monday, and then the Moon is conjunct Neptune, and then that Moon conjunct Neptune is the last thing before the full Moon. The full Moon occurs in the very late degrees of Virgo Pisces, Sun in Virgo, the Moon in Pisces. The alignment is what is called aneretic, meaning it's in the very late degrees of the signs. It is prone to transformational experiences, deep transformational experiences. They're not always easy. They often also come with a sense of transition and transformation and like, okay, on to the next thing. Okay, this is the thing that is happening. And then very quickly after the full moon, which is at 7:54:34 on Monday, Eastern Daylight Time, about 4 hours later, the moon moves into Aries. That starts a new kind of a new little chapter of things, and then the sun is getting ready to be at equinox at a 90-degree angle to the equator. That's the autumnal equinox, and that is what I plan to talk about on Monday night's program, which I plan to have up right before the full moon. Let's see. The equinox is while we've got a couple of moments here. That's a full moon. We'll skip the equinox for now. The full moon tends to have this quality of bringing everything to a head all of a sudden, and so there's a lot of pressure with the full moon and potentially sleeplessness and a little bit of anxiety, all that going on. So easy does it through this. Spend a little time outside. Try not to hold people to too much. And if a situation is unfolding, if there's some challenging situation unfolding, with the full moon approaching, you don't need to push it along. Just let it do its thing. Let it unfold. Let it become the thing that it's becoming. And then the first morning after the full moon, you just say to yourself, where are we at with all this? So that's on Tuesday morning, and you just sort of wake up and look at your watch and remember what you dreamed and ask the all-important question, where am I and what am I doing here? All right. Thank you again for your patience with the Missed Wednesday episode, and I look forward to being back with you on Monday evening Eastern Time. You may always write to me at efc@chironreturn.org or any email address you find on the website. Thanks for listening, and stay in touch.